miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. YOUDOCS at gmail.com is Dr. Mike's email for your questions and Dr. Mike's answers, advice, anything you need. UDOCS at gmail.com. YOUDOCS at gmail.com. If you miss an interview, you don't miss an interview. RadioMD.com anytime you want. Hospital bills, Dr. Mike, going public. What do you think? Is that
right.
A good thing?
Well, CMS, this is the Center for Medicare Services, said we should see if we can get some competition among the hospitals if people know what they're being billed. Now, most of these people, in fact, are automatically, that is, their Medicare bills are paid for them, and no matter what they are billed, the same amount is paid for the same procedure. That is, Medicare has negotiated in a one-way way with all providers and said, we'll pay you X, take it or leave it. And so almost all physicians now take Medicare. And if you do that, you're paid X amount irrespective of what you bill. The bills really are for the rare person who has not negotiated or not had negotiated on their behalf a price in advance. And they show how they vary. For example, on I think it is hip replacement surgery, the low was $5,000 and the high was something under, what was it,
$123,000 in California.
Yeah, really ridiculous. But it doesn't matter. There's a uniform amount paid by Medicare. So I don't know that this is going to do anything other than it is interesting, the variation in price, which doesn't mean anything, you know, since it's not the price you have to pay. It's not the price Medicare pays. It is just a price that they would charge people who are not insured by any of the insurance companies.
But if you're charging 10% more or 20% more than what it costs to deliver the service, I think that's an acceptable profit margin. But charging, you know, 400% more than what it costs has no rational basis to me at all.
None of the medical bills have any rational basis because they were set up in a system where it didn't matter what you charge because you were going to get paid the same thing. So it was basically a system set to justify the minimum price. That is, you had to make sure that your price was above what you would actually get paid.
I think medicine's the only business where you have no idea ahead of time what you'll be charged, as if medical rates are set at some, you know, third world bazaar. And I think the government hasn't done much to protect us from this corporate health care. You know what I mean? How about strengthening antitrust laws to restrict the power of hospitals? I mean, that would give insurance companies probably more leverage to bargain over prices and then tax hospital profits, I don't know, you know, 60-70%, then tack on a surcharge on non-doctor hospital salaries. And then you know, will any of this happen? Probably not, because hospitals are pretty powerful.
Enforcing the antitrust laws, I think, is a very good thing because there is too much power in some hospitals. But, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years, those have not been enforced very strongly in hospital mergers. And as you said, now the taxing income above expenses, almost all of that goes back into capital expenses, meaning in fact, 100% of it must in the not-for-profit hospitals. So no matter what we make, it gets used by the capital expenses. One of the interesting things, though, that'll be very interesting to follow in the next 5 years is virtually every hospital in New York City would be underwater if the current price changes go into effect and stay in effect.
An average hospital stay in the United States, from what I hear, costs about $4,200 a day. That's three times as much as the next highest cost per day. That's in Australia at $1,400. Argentina has the lowest average daily cost of $430 a day.
And those days are very valuable.
Yeah, I guess. They ran an article in our local paper here yesterday about the very, very different ways of hospital costs, and they just cited one example of a knee replacement. We have 8 or 9 hospitals here in the area, and the cost of the knee replacement ranged anywhere from $26,000 to $37,000.
No, that's the charge. That's not the cost. That's
the charge.
Okay. But in fact, the cost is uniformly, Medicare will pay uniformly the same, irrespective of the charge. And most insurance companies, for example, I think it's Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield in upstate New York, will pay the same irrespective of what the charge is.
I was amazed by that, how different, how wide and varied a lot of these costs are for, the government released these studies and these numbers based on, 100 common procedures and how all over the board they are. Hot hands, Dr. Mike. What are hot hands in sports? What is that all about?
When I saw the title, I thought I was going to learn about cooling off through the AV fistulas in your palms.
Right.
Get you to live longer or get you more endurance and better performance. But this was about if you make one basket or you do something well in shuffleboard, for example, what's the chance your next shot will go in the basket? And they looked at free throws. What did they look at? They looked at two things. One was free throws, and I can't remember the other. But it was a very interesting study in that if you make one, you actually have a higher chance of making more of your shots in the next little while, but the next one tends to not go in. And they thought that was because the psychological event, when you make one, you think you're so good you can make one from farther out,
right,
et cetera. And so it tended, although the next one tended to not go in, there was a positive effect of a change. And remind me, you've probably read this more recently than I did. What was the other thing they studied? They studied all foul shots that basketball players in the NBA took. I think it was from 1985 to 19. It was like a 10-year period.
Okay.
And then they also followed one other sporting event, and I can't remember it, but I'll look up the study in a few seconds. I'm trying to go through it and find the study, actually, because it was such an interesting study to me. That it was hot hands.
Okay, so if you're playing a game, if you're in a 3-on-3 basketball game or something, hey, give the ball to him, he's got a hot hand, right? It could be a jump shot, it could be a free throw, it could be, hey, give him the ball, he's got a hot hand right now, right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so what they studied was all the NBA, 50,000, they studied, I think, 11,000 free throws in the NBA, what happened to the next free throw, and then 50,000 games bowled in the Professional Bowlers Association to see after you got one strike, did you get another? The answer was you didn't get another. You tended actually to get fewer strikes the next time, but overall your games were of a higher score. So there is such a thing as a hot hand. We used to say no, but there is such a thing as a hot hand.
Yeah, it's called in the zone. He's in the zone, right?
That was exactly what they were studying. Is there such a thing as in the zone? And the answer in 1985 from those data was no. Now the answer is yes.
Wow, that's really interesting. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. If you like to ride rides anywhere from the high-tech amusement parks to the state fairs to the county fairs to the carnivals, we'll be talking about the first national study looking at injuries in amusement rides, covering all that and everything in between. It's an interesting segment. You want to be here, so stay with us. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.